today in Hebrews chapter 7, kind of a mystery. All right? If I were to ask you to name the most important people in the Old Testament, I doubt that Melchizedek's name would be put on your list. He is mentioned only twice in the Old Testament, once in Genesis 14 and once in Psalm 110. But his name is mentioned 9 times in the book of Hebrews and 6 times here in chapter 7. So Melchizedek is a very important character. He's kind of a mystery character. We are told then, remember in the book of Hebrews, that Jesus is better. And we see that he is better than the ancestors. That would include Abraham. He is better than the angels. And that would include the great angel, the archangel, Michael. He is better than the law, better than Moses. He is better than the priesthood, Aaron. And the promises of God, we looked at last week, God's oath is better. And then the mysteries. Now in the Bible, there are different mysteries. And a lot of these are, in the Old Testament, would be a mystery is revealed to us in the New Testament. And so Melchizedek is certainly one of these mysteries. And there are here 3 arguments why Christ is better than Melchizedek. And so, with this theme in mind in the book of Hebrews, Jesus is better. The Jews, the Hebrew Christians, God was calling them to go on to something better and calling them for change that need to be made. And it's not easy to change. But if we know that something better, we're changing for something better, then that is something that we can look forward to. Jesus is better. Let's bow in prayer as we continue here. Father, we thank you. This book of Hebrews shows us clearly that Jesus is better. Better than the ancestors. Better than the law. Better than the angels. Better than the priesthood and the promises and the mysteries we find. Christ is better than all of these. Father, I pray that your spirit would fill your servant. Lord, anoint and give the words to say. Anoint our ears to hear. Anoint our hearts to receive. Anoint our feet to live out that which we hear and receive. Father, I pray that you would be with us today and give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. So 3 arguments why Christ is better. The first argument might be an historical argument. You compare Melchizedek and Abraham. And here in chapter 7, verse 10 verses, we see that there are some facts about this mysterious Melchizedek. Eminem, you like Eminems. Mysterious Melchizedek. He was, first of all, he was both king and priest. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. Now you remember, in the Old Testament, the throne and the altar were separate. A king over the nation of Israel could not enter into the temple and act as a priest. They were separate offices. You could not be a king and a priest. But here we see in Genesis 14, 18, and Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1, this Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of the God Most High. He was both king and priest. The only one we find in the Old Testament who was both king and priest. And so this is very significant. It, of course, points to Christ, who is both king and priest. And then we see, secondly, in the story of Melchizedek, he received tithes from Abraham. Melchizedek blessed him, blessed Abraham, the father of the Jews, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything, the spoils he brought back, and gave him a tenth. Now, he blessed Abraham and received the tenth from Abraham. That showed that he was greater than Abraham. And so this also points the fact that Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. Certainly to the Jews, Abraham is the father of the Jews. So this is very significant. Then number three, his name is important. First, the name Melchizedek. It means king of righteousness. Melchizedek, king of righteousness. He had a right standing before God. That's what righteousness really means. You're standing before God. Is it right? And again, I'm reminded so many times, the character for righteousness in Chinese is Lamb over me. God, the Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God over me, covers my sin and makes me righteous. The Lamb over me. And so here he is, the King of righteousness. But he's also called the King of Salem, meaning the King of Peace. And how many times do you see these two words together? Righteousness and peace. When we have a right standing before God, our hearts are right before God, we also have peace in our hearts. We have peace with God and the peace of God in our hearts. So these two go together. You can't have peace without righteousness, and righteousness brings peace. His name is important. And then the fourth thing, his family history is different. Here we see that he was without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, resembling the Son of God. He remains a priest forever. What does this mean? Without father or mother. I think it simply means here that the name of his father or mother is not recorded. I realize in the Bible there are a lot of genealogies. And it's a very important reason for this. To be a priest, you had to be, of course, of the tribe of Levi. You had to be a descendant of Levi. So you had to have that family tree, your ancestors, your descendants. That's why you see a lot of these in the Bible. Genealogies. And to be a king, you had to be of the tribe of Judah. David, the line of David, to be a king. And so that's why genealogies are important, to show who is the line of David, the line of Judah, who is the line of Levi. And so we find all these different genealogies. Now, what does this mean? He has no genealogy. There's no listing of his father or his mother. It doesn't tell us when his days began or when his days ended. Here's a very key phrase. You want to underline that in your Bible. Resembling the Son of God. He remains a priest forever. Now, there are a couple ways that people look at this. Some believe that this was an appearance of the appearance of Melchizedek was a manifestation of Christ before his incarnation. Now, the word incarnation has become flesh. And when Jesus was born, came to this earth, was born in Bethlehem, in the manger, God became flesh. And Jesus lived among us. He gave his life for us. He died on the cross. He rose again. And really, think about this. All of history is marked by that event. B.C., before Christ. A.D., after the year of our Lord. There are indications that Christ appeared in the Old Testament before he came to this earth in the form of Jesus. And so, some would suggest maybe this is appearance of Christ. You look in your Bibles, understanding this, let's turn to the book of Genesis, please. Genesis chapter 16. Certainly, looking at this character here, Genesis chapter 16, and verses 7 and verse 13. Follow along here, please. Genesis 16, 7. Your slave is in your hands, Abram said. Do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarah mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. And then we see in verse 13 that the angel of the Lord appeared unto her. All right? And she gave his name to the Lord, who spoke to her. You are the God who sees. For she said, I have now seen the one who sees. And so this angel of the Lord, we see different times in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. You see this expression, the angel of the Lord, in the Old Testament, is when Christ would appear, in this case to Sarah. And again, he appeared to Abraham and others in the Old Testament. You see this angel of the Lord, all right, where Christ would make an appearance. Now, concerning Melchizedek, others would believe, and I would tend to agree with this, that the appearance of Melchizedek is a type. You see this word resemble? Resemble is a picture or a type. So he resembles the Son of God. So he is a picture, a type of Christ. Now, there are a lot of characters that are pictured. They're real characters, but they're a picture of something about Christ. For example, Adam. You see in 1 Corinthians 15:45, the first Adam. And Christ has been referred to as the last Adam. The first Adam, sin entered into the world. Through Adam's sin, it entered into the world, and all of us are born sinners. The last Adam, through Jesus Christ, his death on the cross for all of us, to take away all our sin. So you have the first Adam and the last Adam. But I think here that Melchizedek is like that. He's a type. He's a picture of Christ. That he would be a king and a priest. And that he would be a picture to us of Christ, who would be a priest forever. Now, number five, he had authority to receive the tithes and to bless Abraham. He collected a tenth from Abraham and he blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. So, showing here that Melchizedek was greater than Abraham, and Abraham was lesser than Melchizedek. And so we see here this historical character, Melchizedek, kind of a mystery to us. We don't know a lot about him, these two verses, but he is a picture for us of Jesus Christ. And he shows us the everlasting priesthood. Christ was both king and priest. Now, Melchizedek is then greater than Abraham and his descendants, Levi. He is a picture of Christ, but Christ is then greater than Melchizedek. The last king priest is greater than the first king priest. So we have the comfort, I have a priest who is greater than Aaron. Put yourself in the shoes of the Hebrew Christians. They had heard of Christ's death. They identified him as the Messiah, the promised one, the Christ, that he died for us, and they believed in him. But it was very difficult to make the change. They had the temple still there in Jerusalem. This before AD 70 when the temple was destroyed. And so, do I go and worship with the Christians, or do I still go to the temple? And so there was difficulty for them to understand, what should I do? And so they were reminded that Christ is a priest who is greater than Aaron, than Levi, than the priest of the temple. He is the king priest. He is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is the only one who is a lasting priest, permanent priest. Then we have the second argument. Christ and Aaron. Now we've already talked somewhat about Aaron, but this is the, what is the right priestly order? Is it Aaron, who is a descendant of Levi, or is it Melchizedek? Now, first of all, we see that because both the priesthood and the law were imperfect. If imperfection could have attained through the Levitical, if perfection could have been obtained through the Levitical priesthood, why was there still need for another priest to come? One in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron. If I could be made perfect through the law, the Old Testament law, what is the need for Christ to come? What is the need for another priesthood? And so again, pointing this out to those Hebrew Christians. So this picture is really a early Christian painting. And you realize at that time in the early Christian church, a lot of Christians didn't have Bibles yet. There wasn't the printing press, all right? And so handwritten copies of the Bible, the printing press didn't come until about 1500. And so you had handwritten copies that would, maybe you'd go and share those. So a lot of times in places of worship, paintings would be like a wordless Bible to give the message, the gospel. So what do you have here in this painting? Very interesting. You have the Aaron priesthood, all right, the Old Testament, and then the king priest, Melchizedek, and Christ is greater than both. So even in this picture of the early church, pointing out to us that Christ is greater than the old priesthood, Aaron. Christ is greater than Melchizedek, that king priest. So the second reason we see here, because being imperfect, priesthood, the priesthood of the law could not continue forever. You know, you take your Bibles and you have the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. We're going to talk more about that next week, that there's a better covenant. But you have the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Through it, before Christ and after Christ. Simply understood. But here we see that, and what we have said is even more clear. If another priest like Melchizedek appears, another priest of a different kind, this word another, there are two words, that another can be another of the same kind or another of a different kind. And Christ is another priest of a different kind. He's a king priest. And so Christ is a priest also forever and can never be replaced. He's a permanent priest. Aaron, would pass away and it would pass on to his sons to become the priests. All right? And so there was a need for a permanent priest. And Christ alone can satisfy that need. And then the third argument is because God's oath cannot be broken. God made a promise and he swore by his name. He gave an oath. So that makes that promise even stronger. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without an oath. But he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. Right? So, he is a better priest. He is a, because of this oath, it cannot be broken. He is a permanent priest. And then number four, because being men, the priest died. So Aaron died, and his son became a priest, and his son died, and his son's sons died. Now then, have been many of those priests. Since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Christ is an unchangeable priesthood. Cannot be changed. Permanent priesthood. So we're reminded of this. I have a priest who is greater than Melchizedek, because Christ lives forever and he saves completely forever. So Christ is my priest. And so these Jews, that they might remember that Christ is our priest, a permanent priest forever, that they would not turn back to Aaron. They would not turn back, but go on to that which is greater. There's also a very practical argument to this. Number three. We have the holy priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 talks about this holy priesthood. As believers, we're part of a holy, royal priesthood. Now, the Old Testament priests were holy. Now, this word holy means to be set apart. They were set apart to do the work of a priest. And such a high priest truly needs our need, one who is holy. Now think of it this way. We know that men, as human beings, we are sinful. And that God is righteous and holy and set apart from us. And so we know that there's a need for a go-between, a mediator. There is only one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus. No earthly priest can be that mediator. I know, for example, certain religions, they have a priest. They have priests. And they go and maybe confess their sins to that priest, thinking that that person is their go-between, their mediator between them and God. Christ alone is our mediator. He is our only go-between. We don't need such a priest. Hope you all understand that. It's very important that we confess our sins directly to God through Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. And then secondly, only Christ can claim these characteristics. Not only is he set apart, but he is blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens, because Jesus Christ never sinned. There was no need of sacrifice for him, where these other priests would have to offer a sacrifice for their own sin, and then for the sins of the people. And then third, Christ never had to offer sacrifices for his own cleansing. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifice day after day, first of all for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. Once for all. And then when he hung on the cross, the seven words he said, one of the last words he said was, "It is finished. It is complete." There is nothing to be added. It's Christ and nothing. It's not Christ plus your good works. It's Christ alone. You can't add anything to the work of Christ. Your good works cannot add to it. It's Christ alone. His work is finished. And then number four, Christ has been perfect forever. For the law appoints as high priests men and all their weaknesses. But the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, Christ, who has been made perfect forever. He is the perfect sacrifice. He is the perfect priest. for all the other priests were not perfect. And so, are you going to go to an earthly or to a heavenly priest? Are you going to go to an imperfect or to a perfect priest? Are you going to go to a temporary or permanent priest? And like so many of the priests that were earthly priests, like remember the story of Eli in the Old Testament. Eli was not a good priest. And we hear stories of so-called priests. And we hear them that they were not good men. They've sinned and done wrong. There is only one heavenly priest. There is only one perfect priest. There is only one permanent priest. So he calls upon these Hebrew Christians, do not turn to those priests, earthly priests. Do not turn to Aaron or even Melchizedek. Turn to Christ, who is the heavenly, perfect, and permanent priest. I want you to consider this quote here. And think about this. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, and so we shall have to do more than register and more than vote. We shall have to create leaders who embody virtues that we can respect, who have moral and ethical principles we can applaud with enthusiasm. Now, it is the duty of all of us as citizens to register and to vote. And as Christians, it is imperative. We need to do that. We need to register. We need to vote. But we also need to create leaders, local leaders, statewide leaders, and national leaders who embody the virtues that we can respect. I told you I speak to my father at least once a week on the phone. And he told me something that was interesting. And my father is 83 years old. He said, in all the years of voting, think about this. There are over 350 million people in America. Can we come up with these two candidates? And yes, sometimes we shake our heads, wonder, what do we have here? And so at those times, maybe we have to look at their platforms. We have to examine the platform. What are they, what is their stand toward abortion, the right of the child? What is their stand toward religious freedom? We need to look at their platform. Of course, publicly, I'm not allowed to endorse anyone, and I would not do that publicly. But I encourage you to look at what their position is, what their stand is. And also, Monday, there is in theaters across America, there's a program that's going to be on in theaters. It's called Revive Us, put on by several Christian leaders. And the important thing about this, Revive Us, is talking about the fact that what our nation needs comes from inside, not the outside. It has to start from within us, within us, inside of us. And it starts at the bottom, not the top. I think so many times people hope that our salvation will come from the top. We will have a leader who can turn around this nation, which needs to be turned around. But we need to see, like they're going to show us in this Revive Us program in theaters Monday night, 24th, is that it has to come within us. We pray for God to revive us from within. And from the bottom up, it starts in our hearts. We don't look for the leader. It starts in our hearts and goes up. And so today, if you could vote for your priest, who would you vote for? There are many problems with human priests and the priesthood. And there are some problems with Aaron and the Levitical priesthood. And there are a few mysteries about Melchizedek and the king priesthood. But there is a need for something better and greater. And Christ is the superior priest. better and greater than man, better and greater than Aaron or Melchizedek. And so I will call upon Christ as my great high priest. Now, I can turn your hymn books number 219. Praise him, praise him. Prophet, priest, and king. Father, we thank you. Lord, that we have a great high priest. That Jesus Christ is our heavenly priest. That Jesus Christ is our permanent priest. And that he is our perfect priest. Father, we need not search for any other. There is only one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. Who are you trusting today? Lord, help us all to realize that there is no other way but through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That there is no other way to the Father except through him. Lord, we thank you for providing us a priest, a great high priest, in Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.